decision of the Muslims and Jews.
Banning it.
Yeah, from all the hospitals, they made a law that cannot circumcise the children. They have to go out of the country.
Is that right?
In Germany, yes.
In Germany? No circumcision in Germany?
I heard it on a whole half hour of it this morning on the news.
That's a health issue. Is it a health issue? They said it's cruelty to children.
It's cruelty to
children. Yeah. I imagine
they could have an abortion if they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So what kind of hubbub that causes, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting times. Let's have a word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that no matter what the world does, we know, Father, that ultimately you are in control and that you are moving forward with your plan. And we thank you, Father, that you've made us a part of that. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, you would better equip us to serve in that capacity, to be your ambassadors here while we're here. And Lord, that you would be glorified in these earthen vessels of ours. We thank you for all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. All right, we are, just for this morning, in Daniel and chapter 9. We start. Daniel chapter 9. As we were doing our series on the fundamentals of dispensationalism, someone asked, we got a request to go over the 70 weeks of Daniel. And of course, if we were to do that in any, to do that thoroughly, we would be here for months, and we don't have months to do that. So, especially on the 70th week. But I thought we would just kind of take one session and go over this timetable and take a little bit of a look at it. If you're not familiar with it, hopefully we'll get you familiar. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is praying here and confessing the sins of Israel. He is in Babylon. He's a Jewish kid, or probably not a kid now by the time you get to Daniel chapter 9. He was taken captive from Israel when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took that nation away, took their sovereignty away, and carried them all captive. Daniel was a child, and he comes into Babylon, and he's trained up in the ways of the king and so forth, ends up being a political person there in Babylon, always maintaining his faith and his faithfulness to God. And of course, Daniel, as he's there in that exile, he receives revelations and prophecies from God. And here in Daniel 9, what we're seeing is one of those, and it's one that people talk about a lot. People like timetables, and Daniel gives us one here. So here in Daniel chapter 9, the angel comes to Daniel as he's praying, verse 20, let's get it there. "Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." So Daniel is praying, and Gabriel says, from the time you started praying, God commanded for me to come and to uh, and to speak with you and to show you some things. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. So Gabriel says that there are going to be 70 weeks left. Now you are in years here, somewhere around 600 BC and thereafter, when the nation of Israel is carried away into Babylon. And God tells Daniel there's going to be 70 weeks, and basically to, at the end of verse 24 there, to seal up the vision and prophecy. That is, we're going to finish this thing. There are 70 weeks, and we're going to bring this purpose to a close. Now, before we go on, put something here in Daniel, because we're going to be coming back. But that issue of 70 weeks, come back with me to Genesis and chapter 29. And let's see what the angel is talking about there, because obviously 70 weeks from 600 some odd BC is gone a long time ago. But the angel isn't talking about weeks of days there. He's talking about weeks of years. The word there is the word heptad. It just means seven. 77s are determined upon thy people. And when it's talking about days, that's a week of days. When it's talking about something else, that's something else. Here in Genesis 29, for example, we have Jacob, and he wants to marry Rachel, Laban's daughter. And her father says, okay, I'll let you marry my daughter, but you need to work for me for 7 years. And then you can marry my daughter. And verse 20 says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And the passage goes on, and Laban kind of pulls a fast one on Jacob, and he ends up giving him his other daughter. And so Jacob comes back and says, I wanted to marry Rachel. You didn't give me Rachel. And Laban says, okay, I'll give you Rachel for another 7 years of service. So Jacob says, okay, I'll do that. And verse 26, Laban said, it must not be done in my country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. So you can see here in this passage that here's an example where a week is 7 years. And the Bible does that. You need to get the context of what it's talking about, if it's talking about a week of days or if it's talking about something else. So when, as a matter of fact, coming back here to Daniel 9 now, when the children of Israel were carried away into Babylon, the reason they were carried away captive is because they were supposed to give their land a rest. They weren't supposed to plant or harvest every 1 year in seven to let the land rest. And they went for what the Bible calls 70 Sabbaths of years without doing that, 490 years. And because of that, God puts them in exile in Babylon for 70 years to give the land those 70 years that the nation of Israel hadn't given it over the last 490. So that's that Sabbath of years. That's the idea here. So back in Daniel chapter 9, 70 weeks in verse 24 are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So basically that's that kingdom that all of prophecy has been looking for since the beginning. So 70 weeks are coming. Now these weeks, this period of 70 weeks are divided into a few different pieces, starting in verse 25, continuing in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So now there's two divisions there. You've got, let's see if we can make sense of this, and I'm not promising I can. You've got 70 weeks, okay, all together. Now, the angel there says that there's going to be a period of 7 weeks, and then there's going to be a period of 62, which is 62. The 7 weeks are for the building of the wall. There's going to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So you've got 49 years there for the rebuilding, at least for the building of that wall and the beginning of the rebuilding of the city. And you can go to Ezra and Nehemiah and read those books, and they're all about that time when the children of Israel come back from Babylon and begin rebuilding and all the trouble and trials that they went through trying to get that wall built again, just like the verse says here. So there's that period of 7 weeks, and then 62 weeks. 62 is 20, 62 is 60. So you've got 7 and 62, which of course, I know we said there would be no math, right? It gives us 69 weeks, right? And we're looking for 70. So up to Messiah the Prince is going to be 69 weeks. That's 483 years. Week is 7. 69 times 7. 483. Verse 26 now. And after 62 weeks, now this here in verse 26, the 7 weeks is already done. So now after 62 is after the 69. The 7 is done, then the 62 comes, and after that, after 62, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So you've got 69 weeks here from the time that, and there's a marker in that passage, from the time that the commandment goes forth to restore and build Jerusalem. And that comes from Cyrus of Persia. He gives that commandment to allow the nation of Israel, the Jews, to go back into the land and start building that city again. And from that time, from the time that he makes that decree, you start counting. And you get 483 years until Messiah comes. Now that's not, as you count that out, that's not the birth of Christ. People have done the math on that, smarter people than me. And where you come to after 483 years from the decree of Cyrus to out 483 years is the triumphal entry. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they're putting the palm leaves down and crying, Hosanna, great is the Lord, and blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When Messiah enters the city as its heralded one, that brings this time period to a close. Now that happens, that triumphal entry happens a week before the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified. One week, they're praising him and shouting Hosanna and glory to God. A week later, they're shouting crucify him. And Daniel says here, and Gabriel tells Daniel, that after that 62 weeks, Messiah is going to be cut off. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the cross, cut off from the land of the living. So you've got that 483 years, that 69 weeks that Gabriel gives to Daniel. And then that stops. Comes up to a point, unto Messiah the Prince, and then it stops. Then he says, after that, some other things are going to happen. Messiah is going to be cut off, for one. Also, in the middle of the verse there, the prince that shall come. So after Messiah is cut off, there's another prince that's going to come. The prince that shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant, he, that prince that shall come, will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So there's our 70th week now. To fill out the 490. 490 years. That 70th week is going to be the week of that prince that shall come. The prince that shall come, it says he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. People look at that and they say, well, Antichrist, and that's who he's talking about, is the Antichrist. He's going to come and he's going to make a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. But that's not what the passage says. It says that he's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week, for 7 years, for that last week. Now, will there be a peace treaty involved? Maybe. Probably. But the passage doesn't say it's a 7-year peace treaty. He's talking about the covenant. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. He's going to tell them, you guys have the right to this land like God said you did, like God promised Abraham. He's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week. He's going to give them protection in that land for 7 years. He's going to promise to do that according to the Abrahamic covenant. He'll confirm, verse 27 again, he'll confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So now we've got another division here, and that is in this last week. Let's get rid of this math. You've got 7 weeks, 62 weeks to bring you to 69. Then you've got that one last week, and that one last week is divided into two. He says in the midst of the week some things are going to happen. So let's run this out here. Let's call this the foundation of the world, Adam, creation, all of that. You come out for a time, Abraham is called out, Israel is created and carried away into Babylon. And this starts, what happens here is what the Lord Jesus Christ calls the beginnings of the times of the Gentiles. The nation of Israel loses its sovereignty and it comes under the headship of another nation, and that has continued until this day, or until 1948, I guess. If you want to look at it that way, when Israel became a nation again. From the time that this captivity is over, 70 years here, and that commandment comes, well, now you've got 483 years. I'm not going to write any more numbers again here. We'll leave you alone with the numbers. 483 years till Messiah comes. Now that stops Daniel's timetable there. But there are some other things that happen after, like the cross. After 62 shall Messiah be cut off. That cross is a subject of prophecy. Many prophecies talk about the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection happens there. Again, prophesied. The coming of the Holy Spirit after the resurrection. Peter says this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The coming of the Holy Spirit was prophesied. What I'm trying to show you is that as you're following this timeline, we need to understand that Daniel's 70 weeks are not all that there is in prophecy. Okay? Prophecy starts back here from the foundation of the world. All the prophets talked about some things that were going to happen out here. They talked about this. They talked about the resurrection. They talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. All of these prophetic events here happen outside of Daniel's timeline. After the 69th week and before the 70. So in the timeline, when we were talking about dispensationalism and prophecy and rightly dividing the word of truth, we saw several prophecies that are dividing this. Where one part of it gets fulfilled over here, then there's a gap in time. And then another part of it gets fulfilled over here. Daniel's prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9 is different from those, because the ones that we were looking at didn't indicate that there would be a break. It just happened, and people knew after the fact that there was a breach, and we looked at that. Here, the timeline that Daniel is given, the angel, there's a break in the timeline, in the prophecy. It's clear that these 70 weeks are going to be split up, because there's some things that happen after the 69 and before the 70. So there's a prophesied gap here. Okay? He's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he's going to make it desolate, even till the consummation. So in the midst of the week there, come over to chapter 11, Daniel. Jump over to chapter 12. We'll get it there. And then we've got a few in Revelation I want to look at. Daniel chapter 12. The reason I'm pointing this out to you, that this is a prophesied gap, is because there is a misconception out there that what's going to happen is that when the dispensation of grace is over and the rapture happens, immediately Daniel's 70th week is going to begin. We're going to get raptured, and 7 years, the 7 year clock, starts at the rapture, essentially, until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not how it works out. Because you and I, we are within this gap, okay, in between the 69th and 70th week. The 69th week ended 2,000 years ago. The 70th week hasn't started yet. We live in this gap, but we don't fill this gap. Okay? Because there's prophecy happening here. The cross, the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming prince, all of those things are prophesied. You and I know that where we live today, this is not a dispensation of fulfillment of prophecy. This is a mystery that we live in today, not revealed to the prophets. Paul says that over and over again. We've looked at it. So what you end up with, let's make this a little bigger, blow up that section. You've got your 69 weeks over here. You've got your 70th week over here. Then you've got prophecy continuing to be fulfilled after that 69th week. So you know that you're not in the dispensation of grace here. The crucifixion, the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then at some point that prophecy stops and the mystery begins. the dispensation of grace. That's where you and I live today. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to start again when the dispensation of grace is over? Prophecy. Daniel 70th week? No. Prophecy starts again. Because you know, if you take out this dispensation of grace, these two programs come together. It picks up where it left off when God started this thing. The prophetic clock starts ticking again. Where we started was not within Daniel's timetable, and where it ends is not going to be within Daniel's timetable. You and I are living, this gap here to here is a prophesied gap. This one is an unprophesied gap. You and I are living in a gap within a gap. Okay? A gap in prophecy that is filling the gap in Daniel's timetable. So that when the rapture happens and you and I get out of here, this prophetic gap starts up again. That's what starts again at the rapture. Not Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week will begin when this prophetic gap is over. Then the 7 years starts counting. Okay? Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So now you've got time, one time, times, more than one, and a half. He's talking about that 3.5 years that makes up that from the middle of the 70th week. In the midst of the week, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and then unto the consummation is 3.5 years. Half of that, 7. Come over to Revelation. That 3.5 years is really the time that the Bible calls the tribulation. In fact, the Lord calls it great tribulation. Now, all of this time here, from the time the dispensation of grace is over until the Lord comes back, is a time of trouble. It's called a time of genuine trouble. And it is a period of tribulation. But when you talk about the tribulation, really the only period that's identified that specifically is this 3.5 years, the second half of the 70th week. And you see that time several times. Revelation chapter 11, John is measuring the city. Revelation 11 and verse 2, the angel says to John, "But the court which is without the temple, leave it out, and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. Look in chapter 12. What you're looking at in the book of Revelation is you're essentially looking at a magnified account of that 70th week of Daniel, particularly focusing on that second half of the week, those 3.5 years of great tribulation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, says, "The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. So you've got time, times, and a half of time. You get it again in verse 14. At the end of the verse, she's going to be nourished for a time, times and a half a time. That language comes from Daniel chapter 12. Chapter 13, you see that 42 months again at the end of verse 5. So that time period keeps recurring and being recounted in different ways. Now this 1260 days here, that's also 42 months, 3.5 years. But to get that, you need to count your time like the Jews counted time. Come back with me to Genesis. And chapter 7. Because what you end up with, 42 months, 1260 days, time, times, and a half a time, is you end up with 30-day months. And that's how the Jews count it. That's how God counts it. Months of 30 days. When here in Genesis chapter 7, Genesis 7 verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So the flood comes in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month. Okay. Now look at chapter 8 and verse 4. Verse 3. The waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So from the second month on the 17th day to the seventh month on the 17th day to the day, you've got a period of 5 months there. And verse 3 calls that 150 days. So math isn't too hard on that. 5 into 150 gives you 30-day months. And when you do the math here, the 1260 and the 42 and the 3.5, it all works out that way. 30-day months. That's how the Bible counts prophetic time. So this period here of 3.5 years, come with me to Matthew chapter 24. Really kind of begins that, what the Lord calls the Great Tribulation. Now you and I, we're not looking for that Great Tribulation to start, okay? We're going to be out of here before that. But we're not just going to be out of here before this. We're going to be out of here before He confirms the covenant. So we're not looking for that either. Because we've still got this gap to finish out here before the 70th week begins. Now, how much time is that going to be between the time of the rapture and the time of the beginning of when Daniel's 70th week starts? Don't know. We're not told. A day? A year? A generation between the rapture and the tribulation? We don't know. But there's some time there. It is not Daniel's 70th week. Doesn't start as we're going up. Okay? What starts again is prophecy. The prophetic clock starts ticking. Daniel's 70th week doesn't happen yet. Matthew 24. Verse 3, and as he, the Lord, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be? and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? So here we are again now, prophecy being fulfilled. All of these things that the Lord is talking about that are going to happen, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So, you've got something there called the beginning of sorrows that comes before the time of the end, before the tribulation proper. There's more prophecy being fulfilled here that the Lord calls the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. More stuff's going to happen. Then shall many be offended, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So once you start into that beginning of sorrows, you've got to make it out to the end in order to be saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he's going to come back to save his people. But you've got to make it that far. You don't, if you're a member of the body of Christ this morning. But these people who are going through this, they need to make it there. They need to make it there without being offended, without turning from the Lord, without taking that mark. We all know about the mark, right? He that endures to the end shall be saved when the Lord comes back. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. We studied that gospel of the kingdom when we talked about rightly dividing the word. That's the gospel that they were preaching back then when the Lord was walking the earth. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He says that gospel, it's going to be preached again. Here. Not preached here. What gospel is preached here? The gospel of the grace of God is preached here. Not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is here and here. You and I were in a gap, right? Between those things. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. And when you therefore, verse 15, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. That's what we just read in Daniel 9. In the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and he's going to set up that abomination that maketh desolate. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now where are you here when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? You're here. You're in the middle of the week. Remember, in the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease and set up that abomination that maketh desolate. So, these saints here, they're in Jerusalem through the beginnings of sorrows and through the first half of Daniel's 70th week. When they see the events of the middle of the week, the Antichrist sets up that idol in the temple, and he himself sits in that temple and declares himself to be God. Jesus said, when you see that, run. Get out. Get out of Jerusalem. If you're on the housetop, don't come down to take anything out of your house. If you're in the field, don't go back to the house. Just run. Verse 20, verse 19, woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye not that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. People argue about what that is, the shortening of the days there. Is God going to cut off some of this time? Well, I'll tell you what, over and over again we're told to the day how long this thing is going to last. So the shortening of the days there, you go over to Revelation and you see the sun going out for a third part of the day and the moon for another third part. And the days are actually shortened during that time. The daylight hours, when stuff gets done. But that 3.5 years there is what the Lord calls the Great Tribulation in verse 21. So that's that, out of all of this, these 70 weeks, most of that time, not a lot has happened. History, time is going on. The Maccabean period between the Old Testament and the New, some 400 years in between there. That's where most of it gets taken up. And there are wars in Israel and different things going on. There's a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes. You ever heard of him? He went in there during that time, in that temple, and he sacrificed a pig on that altar. People look at that and they say, well, there it is. There's Daniel's abomination of desolation. Antiochus Epiphanes, he fulfilled that. Problem is that the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're reading right here in Matthew 24, was hundreds of years after that. And Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation that Daniel talked about, then run. Well, that means it hadn't happened yet when the Lord came, right? It was still future. So Antiochus Epiphanes didn't do that. And Titus of Rome in 70 AD, when he came and tore down the temple and all of that, he wasn't the fulfillment of any of this either. Because there's all kind of things we've been seeing just in these few short passages that need to happen. All kind of prophecy needs to take place that did not happen back there in 70 AD. We're still waiting. Plus, we got the dispensation of the grace of God to finish out with, right? Now, so that's something of Daniel's 70 weeks and of his timetable and why it's given to him. You could count up to the coming of Messiah, and then you get that gap, and the angel didn't tell him how long that gap was going to be. It's been 2,000 years so far. It's still going. Prophecy continued for a little while, and then that stopped because even Daniel didn't know about this gap. When this is over, prophecy is going to start again. And when that beginnings of sorrows moves into the 70th week, he'll confirm the covenant, and they'll get on with the peace and safety program, get all secure there in Israel until the middle of the week when all hell breaks loose. And that's what's called the Great Tribulation. Now, for you and me, we're not looking for any of this, okay? We're not looking to see some guy starting to build a temple in Israel. We're not looking for some guy to go in and sit in the temple in Israel. We're not looking for prophecy to start being fulfilled, and we're not searching our newspapers and trying to say this is that. And here's a fulfillment of prophecy in the Bible. You can't do that. Can't interpret your Bible from the newspaper. You interpret your Bible from your Bible. And your Bible says that we're not in a time of prophecy. We're in a time of grace. We're in a mystery dispensation here. Prophecy's not being fulfilled today. People say, well, okay, prophecy's not being fulfilled, but the Antichrist needs time to get the temple built, to do all of these things. Well, that time is here. Okay? That time, there's plenty of time. We don't know how much time there is left in that gap before Daniel's 70th week starts again. That's all Satan needs to do all the preparation he needs to do. Listen, the nation of Israel over there in the Middle East, what we call the nation of Israel today, that could be annihilated tomorrow. And that wouldn't affect any of this. Because if the Lord tarries another 100 years or 200 years, they'll come back. He promised to regather them, and He will. Okay? What you and I are involved with today is the mystery program of God, fighting against principalities and powers in heavenly places, preaching the gospel of the grace of God, building one another up in Pauline doctrine. That's what we do today. Okay? The government that we're fighting against is up in the heavenly places. This stuff will take care of itself when prophecy starts again. The Lord will see to it. I'll leave it there. Is there a question? Comment? Yes, sir.
Seems like Jesus gave an ultimate warning. You can't be misleading when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the temple.
Yeah.
You believe all these lies that I'm telling you is a lie, but when you see that, you've got to believe.
That's a sure marker, isn't it? Yeah, no mistake in that. Yeah.
Run, he says. Yeah.
This is that. Yeah.
In heavenly name, when we first came to Christ, they had a group of people, a bunch of Texas or Arizona or something. They sold all their properties and wanted to get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they wait for the next prophecy. The world's supposed to end this year.
There's 2012, December 21st or whatever. That's not Bible though. That's some other thing. There was a lot of that kind of thing in 1988. Israel became a nation in 1948. 40 years later, everybody was looking up, and until their necks got tired and they stopped doing that, until the next time. So don't get caught up into that kind of stuff. Just don't. It's not what we're doing today. Okay?
We have a new one now. This was in the Sunday paper today. Palestine is supposed to be eradicated, and it's supposed to be just Israel. And the one politician wants one state, Israel only.
Oh, yeah. So, they're starting to take a hard line over there on that, huh? Yeah. Well, I'm sure that'll go over real well, too. Yeah. Not that that stuff isn't interesting. And hey, if the Lord wants to rapture us out today, well, praise God. Let's get on with this thing. I'm all right with that. Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. But, on the other hand, if he wants to continue the dispensation of grace for another 100 years, well, glory to God for his grace. The longer he holds back on this, the longer his mercy is extended to this world through you and me. Was there somebody that was going?
How do we know from Scripture that the rebuilding of the temple is not after the covenant?
Is not after? Well, we don't, other than the sacrifice and the oblation seems to be a part of that, so you would have to have the temple there to do the sacrifices in, unless they build it very quickly after he confirms the covenant. What are your thoughts about it? You think it's going to be afterwards?
I'm just trying to put out a little now, you know.
Well, once he confirms the covenant, then that's when that 7-year time clock starts ticking. That's the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. So now, Revelation says he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And as long as you're in this gap, you have an undetermined period of time to do whatever he needs to do. Once he confirms the covenant, then he's got 7 years and that's it. I would think that the temple's going to be built within this time, so he can confirm the covenant. Then. Yes. Wait. Who is first? Whose arm's the most tired? What you got, Brian?
I thank God for the scriptures. You said the demon shall come in my name, and tell you that the end is near. So believe him not. You know, so I thank God. He said no man knows the time and how. Nobody. He ain't gave that to nobody.
Yeah, grace, what grace teaches us is to live godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior. That's what we're supposed to do. I have other hands.
On the temple, supposedly I've heard they have all the materials ready to go.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I've heard that for years. Yeah, they've been for the last 20, 30 years that I know of, they've been ready at the drop of a hat to start building that temple. May very well be true. I have no idea.
Rachel was born in 1985. We were in Israel. We were at the temple in Israel. We had collected all the everything except for the cow, you know, for the red cow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We put Luther in Detroit.
Wait a minute, where's Earl Shea?
Earl Shea. He'll give you the red heifer. Yeah, I remember when they found the red heifer in Israel, and that was a big deal. Now they've got everything they need.
So the red
heifer. No, the ark is in a government warehouse, according to the movie, wasn't it? At the end of it.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough win, and we're going to go. Yeah. And then prophecy is going to happen, 7 weeks. It's going to finish off, and then Jesus is coming back.
Right.
Okay, now when Jesus is coming back, are we going to come with him, or are we going to chill with him and do our own thing?
Yeah, that's something in between those two, I think. I tend to think that no, we will not come back with him. He comes back with all of his saints, primarily being angels. Comes back for that battle of Armageddon. I do not believe that we're going to be fighting that battle with him. We're going to be in the heavenly places. It's not our war down here. Our war is up there. It'll be Israel and a multitude of angels that are fighting that.
Are we not called saints?
Sure. Yep.
So
yes.
Is there a possibility?
Sure. I mean, I'm telling you how I see it. Many people disagree. You sound like you want to be there. Sound like you want to be there.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Whatever happens after that is all good. What you got, Al?
My question is a little bit further in Matthew 24, verses 42 through 51. It's talking about, so therefore, no one knows the times.
Yeah.
But be ready, like be on your guard.
Right.
Like if you knew when that master of the house is coming, you would be ready. But he says there are going to be servants that evil servants that in his heart. He's not coming. He's delaying. So I'm going to get drunk. And he says that he's gonna cut him off and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Now when I hear that, I think of, I mean, we're in this period of grace, but what is he saying there? Because it almost sounds like he's going to be appointing what his portion is, where he's almost going to be cast outside.
No, the person that he's talking about there is going to be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? That's the people he's talking to there are not in the dispensation of grace.
They're not in the dispensation of grace?
No. They would be here in this gap between the 69th and the 70th week in prophecy. But yeah, that is they are to be ready, and again, that's that idea of endure to the end.
So
because if you allow yourself to fall away, like you're talking about, then it's not a good situation.
So it's almost, they're going to go back under the law. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, the law is going to be reinstituted at least up until the Lord comes back and brings in the new covenant, but that doesn't happen until the end over here. So what they're doing is they're going back to this program that left off back over here when the Lord had risen and ascended and the apostles went out in the early Acts period. That starts up again after this dispensation is over. So basically you're picking up right where you left off 2,000 years ago. But I got one, wait, I saw one in the back.
Hi.
So
in so the message is going to be that Jesus is Messiah, not Savior.
Today, we know the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the body. The head of the body of Christ and exiled head of the body. Here, he's the King of Israel. Right. And that's what they're looking for, is for him to come back and to set up that kingdom that prophecy's been talking about since the foundation of the world. So the gospel of the kingdom is just that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when you start getting into this period, that kingdom gets closer.
So the salvation message for them is that Jesus is king, not...
Sure, he's the savior. He's the savior of all men in different contexts. You're right. The context is different. Yeah. Yes. Very good. What you got, Lauren?
Okay. Good. You know what? In the Old Testament, Israel was never promised heaven.
Right.
Right. And then we were.
Yeah.
What happens at the very, very end? Do we ever get together? I mean, are we ever brought together?
Sure. Ephesians 1:10 there talks about the dispensation of the fullness of times. And the marker of that dispensation is that God is going to gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Christ. So it all becomes the kingdom of God.
And where will it end up?
In the heavenly places.
So they will...
No, we will be in the heavenly places. Israel's going to rule over the earth forever.
Forever. But we'll never be together.
We'll be together in the kingdom of God.
So we won't
be
put back on
the earth. We'll be together. We'll be together with earth and heaven. We'll be together.
Yeah.
Earth and heaven
will
be together.
Yeah. Well, sure. You look at it this way. We're sitting here in Stager, Illinois. Are you together with someone in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Israel's going to be all together. Well, they're going to be all over the earth together. We're going to be all together, but we're going to be throughout the heavens together.
But we'll never, like, assimilate.
But we will all be together in the kingdom of God. We won't be on each other's laps. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Together. But yes, it'll all be, and time, distance, those kind of things are very different factors for us at that time too. You know,
yeah.
It's not like somebody is far away.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brady. So after the grace period is over, dispensation is over, we don't go back in the prophecy, and we don't go back under the faith plus works. We don't go back.
The world will. We won't. But the world will.
But the world.
Yes. Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the program starts again. Would you?
That's why you ask them. Then they don't have one state, the other state. Starting the prophecy.
Yeah,
that's. It sounds like they could be left on the side.
Yeah. Myself, I don't believe they do. A lot of people disagree with me on that too. Whether they have eternal security or not, I don't see how they could have. As long as works are involved in their salvation, I don't see how you could be eternally secure. What you got, Lauren?
Two questions.
Yes. And I'm going to start backing up, so I have to go.
Okay. The Pentecost, was that kind of the start of the last 7th year, and then God was like, okay, stop.
It was not the start.
It was in the gap.
Okay. All of the cross and the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost, all of that happened here.
Is that a prophecy of Jeremiah 31:31?
Yes,
okay.
and Joel chapter 2 and those kinds of things with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginnings of the New Covenant.
Okay, so the beginning of the New Covenant itself isn't a part of that, doesn't start within that last 7 years.
No, and it doesn't really come in full until after the Lord comes back and the earth is the deserts go away and the whole thing becomes a garden again and all of that.
Okay. Question number two. You know how, like, Satan is out just trying to blind people and make them believe something else other than just the grace of God, grace to be covered? Do you think afterwards, after this dispensation of the grace of God, that he is going to be deceiving people into believing that it's not under the law
that
anymore?
It's by, that is by faith without works, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So, and then that's not going to be how it is. They're going to go right back to, are they still going to sacrifice animals after?
It seems like it from that passage we just looked at there in Daniel, that what, in order for him to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, it has to have started in them.
Right.
So yeah, they're going to be doing animal sacrifices. So they're back under the Mosaic law.
Wow. Great.
Oh,
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Brady.
Yeah. No, I don't
Oh, I don't believe so. No, I don't believe that there is prophecy being fulfilled in this dispensation at all. There's a lot of things, like we were talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and Titus of Rome. There are a lot of things that happen that are kind of foreshadow prophetic fulfillment that are not prophetic fulfillment. The most furthest I would go in 1948 is that. But no. The Valley of Dry Bones in 1948. Well, they haven't really been regathered yet. I mean, if you look at the regathering passages, that's not what's happening over there. There's actually, Pastor wrote a good article about that in the Searchlight recently. Showing the regathering is when the Lord returns. He comes back and regathers. And they are
literally have to be thrown again.
And who's not necessarily. I'm trying to move away from the pulpit here. I really am.
You guys are just too interested.
Yeah. That could happen, brother, and it could just, they could just stay where they're at and things just, you know, go on that way. The regathering is believers. They're not believers over there today.
No way.
Because the whole thing of that, the whole, like,
I love the nail. I just love it.
You're like a link to my first church.
Oh, I know. I love it. I just love being here. You ever hear from Pastor?